Great deals, dud buys, and discounts gone wrong.
This is Consumer Talk.
Right, lots of WhatsApps and SMSs coming in, including one saying, please explain how to make the plastic bricks and where they need to go. We had an entire conversation about eco bricks just a few weeks ago. So what I've done in the break is retweet the link to that podcast. So anybody who is listening, wanting that information, what goes into an eco brick and what can be done with them, etc., please check out our Twitter feed or go and look on the Cape Talk page in the podcasts for the show, and you will find that link from a couple of weeks ago. We had the conversation in late August, I believe, the 17th of August, sorry. So you can also look under the podcast for the 17th of August. S saying on the WhatsApp line, I'm putting plastic earbuds into my eco bricks and motivating everyone I know to start making their own. You'd be amazed how many don't know about it. Yes, S, spread the word. As we pointed out in our eco brick conversation, it's not the panacea, it's not the solution to the problem that we're still producing too much single-use plastic. We need to change our habits fundamentally to not rely on the single-use plastics. There are lots of good plastics with very important uses, but that single-use stuff that we use once and throw away is what we need to most urgently wean ourselves off. Making an eco brick out of them is a solution to the ones that are already in circulation, but ideally what we want is for people to stop relying on those single-use plastics. As Walter is saying, there are lots of points about recycling plastic, but that's not the solution. Some plastic needs to be banned, in his opinion. Rogers sent us a photograph of some amazing looking acoustic panels made from recycled PET that they installed at a company last week. Roger, thanks. I'll ask my producer to tweet that photo. They're very beautiful and aesthetically pleasing as well as being recycled. So that's good to know. Thank you, Anonymous, making the point that I take my own containers to both the fish market and the stores to put my meat and veg in. I keep a cooler bag in the boot. People just need to take initiative. That's what it's all about. It's about changing the mindset and getting us all into the habit of doing that rather than going, oh, I forgot, I've got to buy a bag again. Joel telling me on the SMS line that Fair Cape Dairies have just changed their milk bottles from white to clear so that they can be more easily recycled. That is fantastic news, Joel, and well done, Fair Cape Dairies. That's one I'd like to follow up on. Thank you so much for the tip off. Jane suggesting that we need to approach the manufacturers of the 2-litre cool drink bottles to make the base in the shape of the top so that they can be a truly interlocking brick. Just imagine the possibilities, she says. There are lots of possibilities already, Jane, with the existing size. So, you know, you've got to think about the practicalities of the original use. Are you going to buy it if it's less stable because of a change in the base? I don't know if that would be the outset. I'm just thinking out loud that you need the product to be fit for purpose for the original use, as well as fit for purpose for the recycling use, if I can put it that way. Thanks for your WhatsApp. Now, Wendy referenced in that segment the recycling number system. And actually, this is one of the most common recurring questions we get from listeners. How do I know which numbers can go into the recycling bin and which cannot? Just a week or so ago, our listener Jenny mailed me saying she'd been trying in vain to find resources to educate herself and asking us for help. We're happy to deliver, Jenny. I have a resource on the line right now in the form of Rory Murray, who is the head of marketing for Tuffy Brands. You surely know their adverts for their black refuse bags, which are made from recycled materials. This coming Saturday is actually National Recycling Day as well as International Cleanup Day. So what better time then right now to chat to Rory about those numbers. Rory, thank you so much for being prepared to talk us through the numbers 1 to 7. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Afternoon, Pippa, and afternoon to your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Before we start diving into the actual specifics, Rory, I mean, we recycle over 330,000 tons of plastic every year in this country. That volume is growing. That industry sustains several thousand jobs, both formally and tens of thousands of jobs informally as well. But we're still not even at 50% of plastic being recycled. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. Okay. Those numbers are astounding, Pippa. I mean, the formal jobs are just under 6,000, and that's in formal recycling factories that feed plants such as ours.
Yeah.
And it's estimated that the informal supply chain that feeds those factories are in excess of 50,000 jobs. So it's a big number to the economy.
Absolutely. So not to be sniffed at. The key thing here, though, is understanding how the system works and what products can and can't be recycled. So we're going to talk our customers through those numbers. Why is it so important that consumers be aware of what the 1 to 7 represent, Rory?
I think it's to put pressure on brands to ensure that the packaging that they're putting out there is in fact recyclable to start with. Mm. So understanding the coding system, the seven different kinds of plastics, will allow consumers to make choices at the shelf.
Okay. Now, the coding system we're referring to is the little triangle, or the triangular loop, the Mobius loop, as it's called, on the back of the package. It's actually an international system. Am I correct, Rory?
Yes, it's the International Plastics Coding System. And it's generally sort of three arrows that are shaped in the depicted in the shape of a triangle, and inside the triangle is the code of the plastic and the number 1 to 7 that denotes the actual kind of plastic. So it's generally on the back of the packaging.
Okay, let's talk through the list then. Number one is the very common PET or PETE, standing for polyethylene terephthalate ethylene. Probably the most widespread plastic material in use, Rory, am I correct?
Correct, yes. It's used in cool drink bottles primarily, so that's the one that most people will know. Mm-hmm. Soft drinks and water bottles and peanut butter containers, that kind of thing. It's recyclable, it's widely used. And it can be made into other products like polar fleece and carpet. So it's got quite a wide usage and recyclability.
Okay, now specifically, it's very light, it's quite inexpensive and quite easy to recycle. So it goes into all kinds of products that we might not imagine. So number one definitely goes into the recycling bin. Number two is the high-density polyethylene. What would that be used to make, Rory?
Things like yogurt tubs and shampoo containers and butter containers. And also, you mentioned in your introduction before the news, barrier bags.
That yes.
Sort of crinkly, high-density plastic is number two.
Okay, so the barrier bags themselves are then potentially made from recycled plastic. It's quite a circular one, this. Okay, so This HDPE, the number two plastic, the high-density stuff, again, it can be recycled, and it goes into slightly more durable stuff. What would you make out of recycled HDPE?
Well, the one that the consumer will know most is drainage pipes, so your gutters.
Okay. Also made out of recycled plastic. Okay.
Yes, yeah, a lot of products are made out of recycled plastic, actually, once we get down to it. The trick is to get the stream going. Yeah?
Okay, so your drainage pipes, I know that this one's also used in things like benches, and I think my decking boards in my house, in fact, are made from recycled HDPE, if I'm not mistaken, as well as being reused into new HDPE bottles, etc. There is obviously a finite number of times, or I assume there's a finite number of times these plastics can be recycled, Rory, but the HDPE being a quite durable one, can that be reused several times over?
Yes, several times over. So you just keep blending the material so that it retains its strength.
Okay.
So, trying to give it a number is a difficult call, because you'll keep adjusting the blend to retain the properties that you want when the ultimate product that you're making is manufactured.
Okay. All right. So number one, the PET. Number two, the HDPE, both recyclable. Number three is a slightly more specialized version. What is it, and what can it be used for when recycled?
So number three is PVC, so it's polyvinyl chloride. And again, it's used for pipes and things like detergent containers and in some instances gumboots. And it's used, when it's recycled, it's used in the automotive industry for things like mud flaps and then in mats in cars.
Okay, so that too, the PVC gets recycled. Number four is another reusable one, the low-density polyethylene. Now, where would that be used?
Number four is one of the very common ones, LDPE, low-density polyethylene. And it's used in our products, like in Tuffy refuse bags.
Yep.
In its virgin material, and also clothing and furniture. And then when it's recycled, it's got a wide range of uses. So it gets turned back into black bags or the briarwood bags that you can buy, compost bins and floor and landscaping tiles. So again, a wide range of uses once it's recycled.
Okay, number five, polypropylene, PP as it's called. That, again, is going back into the plastic system with the cool drink bottles, because I believe this is the cool drink bottle tops yes. Is where we would be most familiar with it, right?
Yes, so it's in bottle tops and then very often found in sweet wrappers.
Oh, my goodness. Now, okay, I've got to say, when every time I have done beach cleanups, Rory, one of the most common items that I picked up, besides the earbuds, were those little individual metal sweet wrappers. And so it's horrifying to know that those are actually recyclable.
They are recyclable, yes. And it comes back in a form of things like rakes, brooms, and trays. Again, there is a usage for it. I think the trick is, as Annabee mentioned, if you've got plastic at home, put it in the recycled bin and the recyclers will sort it.
So if you, when in doubt, rather put it in the bin and let somebody else pick it out and say that's actually not suitable and do that sorting for you, but rather put it in than leave it out.
Rather put it in than leave it out, yes.
Okay. Now, numbers 1 through 5 we've been through, they are all recyclable. They can all be used for really worthy and important stuff. We start getting a little tricky at number 6 and number 7. Number 6 is the one that I think bothers a lot of people, the polystyrene. And there are lots of people who tell me frequently, you can't recycle polystyrene at all. But that's not true, is it, Rory?
No, polystyrene, it's commonly known as products such as styrofoam. And when it's recycled, it can be used in insulation products, and it can be turned into other foam packaging, as well as plastic plant containers. So it is recyclable. It's not as commonly recyclable as flexible foam, but it is in fact recyclable.
Okay. The big problem comes with the number 7 products. So what would typically have a number 7 on it? What kind of products are we talking about, Rory?
Okay. Number 7 is classified as other. So generally, it's 2 or 3 different kinds of plastic that have been laminated together. And they've been laminated together in order to give the plastic some sort of barrier product, so barrier property, so no oxygen transmission. So in food packaging, in things like DVDs where they've got different grades of plastics that are stuck together, and things like sunglasses. It's a difficult one, but this is the kind of thing where consumers need to, if they can make the choice at point of purchase, because certain products have to be packed in laminated film, mm-hmm. make the choice not to use something packed in the packaging containing 7.
Okay. Am I correct in understanding, because they're different types laminated together, it would take physically separating those types into the different components to make them recyclable? Is that even possible? Would it happen that way? Or is it simply once they've been laminated together like that, they're not no longer recyclable?
Yeah, that product is not recyclable.
That's
into
it.
Yeah. So there are some recyclers that are compressing them, but it's a very specialized field.
Okay, Rory, the bottom line here is that we have a lot of power in our hands as consumers to make very conscious choices about the kind of packaging we're prepared to buy. I've got a few people SMSing me to say I've stopped buying at particular brands because of the kind of packaging. Would you encourage more consumers to be that sort of civic-minded and active in their response?
Sure, absolutely. Pippa, I mean, the more we get the recycling stream going, the more we get raw material that feeds factories like ours that can now produce product that's made from recycled plastic. I mean, the beauty of our product is the level of post-consumer waste. So it's post-consumer waste is product that's gone through your and my home, as it has gone through a recycling separation project and then reconstituted into a product. There's a whole economic stream that's feeding. And I mean, and we're keeping waste out of the environment. We're mitigating effect on landfill.
It's a win-win situation. Rory Murray, thank you so much for talking us through those numbers today. Rory is the head of marketing at Tuffy Brands. After the break, I'll share some of your WhatsApps, your voice notes. Gwen, I see you on the line waiting to chat to us as well. Feel free to give me a call on 021-446-0567. And we'll also tweet a link to a website that talks you through the numbers 1 to 7 that Rory's just explained.
Your call for Pippa now
on 021-446-0567.
I've tweeted a link to a magazine article that also talks you through the steps, the plastics 1 through 7, and what those numbers designate. So if you didn't quite catch all of what Rory was telling us, please take a look on our Twitter feed for that link. Lots of you wanting to comment about your experiences with recycling. Gwen is on the line from Paul. Gwen, I believe you want to talk about how it's done in the States. Good afternoon.
Well, yes. My husband and I lived in the States for 5 or 6 years at the beginning of 2000. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we found very interesting when we went to the supermarket, we were always asked at the till whether we wanted paper or plastic.
Yeah.
And their paper bags were very sturdy brown paper. They had handles on them, quite stout handles. and quite large enough to put to slide into a dustbin. And we found they fitted our the dustbin we had in our apartment quite well. And I can't understand why supermarkets are not offering us the same sort of thing, you know, paper or plastic. They just ask, do you want a bag? Why have they not got round to offering us paper?
Because we haven't been demanding it, I think, is the answer, Gwen. I think that we as consumers need to be speaking up.
We did demand it. I mean, it's out there, and it can be. They had advertising on the side of the bag, so, you know, companies can be advertising various products on the side of their bags, and they are degradable. I mean, sorry.
Biodegradable. Yes, Gwen, thank you very much. It's very interesting to hear that it was as long ago as 18 years ago that you were being offered that choice in the USA. I think I will say this. There has been a groundswell of noise around this issue in the last year. In fact, since we recorded that segment with Wendy, I think quite a bit has changed in terms of consumer pushback. It needs to be louder and it needs to be more consistent as well. We need the likes of Oliver, who is on the SMS line, calling out Woolies, saying they don't only use way too much plastic packaging. Lots of their packaging has a no recycling label. This needs exposure. Ian in Plumstead saying, I've stopped buying from Woolies because they still sell so many products like their soups in non-recyclable bags. In some cases, we always have to keep in mind when we talk about the retailers, there may be very good reasons for the integrity of the product inside as to why one plastic is used instead of another, but we need to be questioning and asking. And if they can't supply us with a good reason for hygiene purposes, for example, as to why the product is in that kind of packaging, let's push back against it. I'm also mindful of cost. And Errol, thank you for your WhatsApp. I agree with you saying the problem with getting rid of a lot of the single-use plastic is where is the alternative cost-effective replacement? There are many people commuting via public transport. Plastic bags are strong. Paper is going to be expensive and unaffordable to many. Biodegradable plastic must be the solution. But at what cost? We are already under economic pressure from so many points. We are, Errol. The biodegradable plastic. I'm actually going to be doing a follow-up interview about the biodegradable plastic bags in a couple of weeks' time. So I hope to be able to give you an answer on where to on that and how soon and how much it's going to cost. I can't give you that information right now, though. Greg in Bloberg, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Pippa, I recycle all the soft plastics. I put in the 2-litre Coke bottles, and the harder stuff I put in the bin where I've got a recycling company that comes around and collects.
Yep.
So now, you talk about recycling plastic. What's better, to put that with the harder plastic for the recyclers or just to shove all of that in the 2-litre Coke bottles? What is better?
If it's there, I don't know which is better. I mean, the one goes into potentially building a creche, a reading room, a school structure. I mean, that is what's happening with the Eco Bricks there. The Eco Brick Exchange are actually physically building school buildings with them in the Eastern Cape. That's a great thing to support. Equally, though, I love those stats of 50,000 plus jobs supported by the recycling industry. Yeah. So as long as you are recycling it is my instinctive response, Greg. They're both great choices.
And then the other thing is those plastics that can't be recycled, they go to the recycling companies. What do they do with that plastic?
That I do not know. I'm guessing it ends up in landfill eventually. That would be my instinctive response. Greg, every little bit helps, and every little bit that we refuse to take in the first place, even more important, I think. It's fantastic that everybody's mindful of recycling to the extent that we're hearing and seeing on our list, our SMS line, etc. today. But if we start refusing it in the first place, that is where the real change is going to happen. I'm going to squeeze in one more call before we need to wrap the conversation. Merle in Somerset West, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. I did phone a little while ago to Africa. We bought a plastic basket, just like they have for the trolleys. And I haven't paid for a plastic bag for years.
You just take your basket along with you when you go shopping?
Yeah, we bought two baskets at the plastic warehouse, and we take them with us every time we go shopping.
No, it's just making it habit. This is the thing, is we've got to make it habit. It becomes so easy. I've got the same. I've got a pile of the cloth shopping bags, which is permanently in the boot of my car. So I never have the excuse of, I left my bags at home, because they are always the last thing I do after unpacking my shopping is put those back into the boot of my car. If you make it force of habit, you'll make sure that you are refusing every single time you go shopping.